Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on September 24th. Can't quite read it. September 24th already? Really? Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That is what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles. And it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce has been serving the community since 1941. It is an association of businesses, other entities, and individuals organized to encourage a strong local economy and quality of life by promoting commerce, sound government, and an informed membership and community.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. This is what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Strohman. Hey, Kelly, how are you today?
Good morning and happy Friday, Joe. I'm fabulous. It's Fabulous Friday.
Fantastic.
I'm fabulous.
Fantastic.
How are you?
Fabulous and fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful, doing wonderful, having a very nice day today up here in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon. It's a wonderful day. Beautiful.
Nice. You know, I called it Fabulous Friday. You were supposed to say, it's Fantastic Friday. I'm fantastic.
Yeah. Yes.
A little
there was
alliterate.
A fantastic in there. absolutely. What's going on?
Did you have a busy week? Anything, interesting happen in your life? We've had a busy one down here. So before I take over and, share what's going on, because I kind of, my enthusiasm takes over. I don't mean to take over, but the enthusiasm and all the action of Manhattan Beach takes over.
Action. I'm very much happy. This is a time when I can start talking about the fact that I've started a new job. I'm working at a company called Block Daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, Block Daemon, and it's wonderful to be with an organization that is growing, is, seen in the marketplace as important. We spin up, nodes of blockchains for people that want them and take care of them and monitor them, and that's what we do, and it's great. I love it.
Very interesting. I have no idea about anything you just mentioned, but it sounds fascinating.
Okay.
I'm not a blockchain person, but that's why we have people like you, Joe. My goodness. Well, it's been busy, as always, down here. And we had a nice little earthquake in town this week that made everybody kind of jump off the sofa and run to the middle of the house or something. Centered just shy of Manhattan Beach and Carson, and it was nice. It made us all kind of take note. So, reminded me to refresh the batteries in my flashlight, and all those good things. So, got us going, gave us a little, excuse my, the pun, but a jolt of energy. So. There you go. But it's been a busy week, as always, here at the Chamber. Man, it just never, ever slows down. There are several things happening this weekend, several things happening the next couple of weekends. Tomorrow, I do not sing, but we could queue up Annie if you wanted. is our last, you got that, that took you a few seconds, tomorrow is the last outdoor movie of the season. We partner with Street Food Cinema, and the Westriff, beautiful Westriff Hotel in Manhattan Beach, and do outdoor movies on the golf course. There's plenty of fresh air. There's plenty of room to spread out. They even have little pods you can reserve if you want kind of your own little circle pod, if that makes you, you know, feel comfortable. There is a vaccinated only section, even though we are outside. So we've gone to great lengths to make sure, you know, guests feel very comfortable, and they have options of where they'd like to sit. You bring your own beach chair or your blanket and you spread out on the grass. There are food trucks galore to get delicious food. The Westriff has a bar set up, or you can bring your own picnic for your from your house, too. Dogs are even allowed.
Yeah.
So the movie tomorrow is one of my favorites, The Addams Family, the original one, The Addams Family movie.
Oh.
Such a fun movie, getting us in the mood for fall and Halloween. Can you believe Halloween is literally 5 weeks away? That's just crazy.
It's September 24th. Where did September go?
Where did the year go? It is truly, it has gone so quickly. So very excited. Come out, bring the family, bring your friends, come alone, bring the dog, whatever you would like to do. If you want to dress up like, you know, Morticia or Lurch or Pugsley, be my guest. There's always people who wear costumes. It's super fun. There's entertainment. There's pre-movie entertainment. And it's just really a fun way to enjoy the outdoors and a fun movie. So tomorrow at the Westriff, the gates open at 5:30. You can go to streetfoodcinema.com and purchase tickets. You can show up and purchase tickets, or you can go onto the ManhattanBeachChamber.com website, and we'll link you over to the Street Food Cinema website. So tomorrow night, Addams Family, gates open at 5:30, movie starts at 8 o'clock. Okay, and then another fun thing we have tomorrow is we will be celebrating the one-year anniversary of a business that dared to open during the pandemic, a hair salon at that.
Yeah.
God bless them. Hair salons and, like, you know, personal services were shut down the most of any sector. Devastate. I mean, just it's just crazy. More than – I mean, just people – it's kind of like a silent little sector that has not had enough attention. Mikhail Coiffeur opened up a year ago. We were never able to do a ribbon cutting for them, and they were closed, I think, for the first 9 months of it's just crazy. They are celebrating their one-year anniversary tomorrow at 5 p.m. Everybody is welcome to come to downtown Manhattan Beach, right just shy of the corner of 13th and Highland. They're above the little Yaya store and right next to Sugarfish. So come out, have fun. Their salon is gorgeous. It has ocean views. It's just beautiful. They're going to be pampering people and having a little fun reception. So if you're in downtown or around the area, please stop by and just check it out. And really, you know,
Kelly,
but it's fun to celebrate. It's fun to celebrate business right now.
Do they have a story to tell? How did they survive?
Right.
How?
Well, they survived the same way that every other hair salon survived. You know, that's a story. There's creative business and stories and cutting hair outside on decks and in garages and, you know, everywhere else. Do you know that was the number one phone call to the city when everything was shut down? Is when can you reopen the salons? All sorts of particularly women were calling. You know, needing their hair cut and colored. It was pretty funny. You talk to any councilman, they'll say that topped the charts, even over the beaches being closed. So anyway, they're open. They're making people beautiful, and we are going to celebrate their one-year anniversary. Also tomorrow, all day, is the Downtown Manhattan Beach Car Show. This is a partnership with the Manhattan Beach Police Department and the K-9 Foundation. All funds that are raised, there's, you know, auction items, what have you, benefit that the K-9 Foundation here in Manhattan Beach, which helps pay for those fabulous K-9 canine officers that we have that are utilized all the time on calls, and it really a special time. But the cars, there's hundreds of cars, old-fashioned, interesting, new,
right.
I mean, just really, really fun that line the bottom part of Manhattan Beach Boulevard and Manhattan Avenue. The streets will be closed off down there, so don't expect to park down there. Come in early, ride, walk. But come to downtown Manhattan Beach to check out the car show. There's over 200 really unique vehicles. They usually bring out some of the police vehicles also, like the old-fashioned ones and the SWAT cars and stuff too, so the kids can enjoy that. And there's going to be dog adoptions happening by the Skechers building and the Bob's store, which is a part of Skechers. So come down, support the Canine Foundation, meet some furry friends. You just might go home with one because there are dog adoptions going on. So beware. You might be fostering a puppy as of tomorrow night.
Right.
So that is fun. And then, of course, next weekend, gearing up. Oh, actually, we have another new business opening today. Kate Lester Home has a couple locations in the South Bay, Hermosa Beach in Redondo, and now they're opening up a location in Manhattan Beach. So Kate Lester Home, beautiful interior furnishings and accents. They're opening up at 1014 Manhattan Avenue. So, again, let's celebrate these businesses, whether they've been open for a year, 20 years, or just opening up. They all deserve a round of applause. So, new business, celebrations, and canines and cars. And then next weekend, everybody, buckle up. Next weekend is the annual Hometown Fair and the Manhattan 10K race. Can you believe it? Back in its glory. Last year, you know, it had to be virtual. And the race was, I mean, everything. It was just, you know, we're back. And that is next weekend already. It's always the first weekend in October. I know we said it earlier, but I just can't believe it's October. So everybody's been calling, asking about that. Yes, it's on, and yes, it is next Saturday and Sunday. The 10K is early Saturday morning. You can still register at MB10K or go to Village Runner on Sepulveda.
Mm-hmm.
And the fair is open all day on Saturday and Sunday. So that is what is happening around the chamber and in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I can't wait. The Hometown Fair.
Oh, I know. Never a dull moment. And, yeah, it's, you know, it's exciting, just like everything else. Getting, you know, back to normal. School's back in.
Yeah.
Parents are plotting. my younger son is doing his last class. He will be a college graduate by December. I am so excited. So, you know, everybody is making a lot of progress, and we are slowly getting back to normal. So, anywho, shall we get into our guest today, our returning guest today?
Please, let's do that. I can't wait. And we have Anne, and who else do we have?
We have Andrea Sala.
Who are our guests?
Yes. We have returning guests from El Camino College and El Camino College Foundation, Andrea Sala, the executive director, and her colleague, Anne O'Brien, the executive director of marketing communications for the college. Two wonderful ladies that have been with us before. But let me give a brief introduction to both in case we have new listeners. Hopefully we do. Andrea Sala is the executive director of the El Camino College Foundation, whose mission is to develop community relationships and raise funds to support students' success in education and life. Sala has been in fundraising, development, marketing, and public relations for over 30 years. Prior to joining El Camino College and the El Camino College Foundation, she was the executive director of the Palos Verdes Peninsula Education Foundation, where she increased the donation to the Palos Verdes Peninsula Unified School District from $700,000 annually in 2001 to $3.4 million annually by 2015. Well done. As the Associate Vice President for Advancement at CSU Dominguez Hills, Sala received the largest gift in the university's history of $1 million from the Annenberg Foundation to fund an endowment for a STEM faculty member. Amazing. Sala grew up in the South Bay and graduated from CSU Long Beach with a degree in journalism and public relations and a minor in marketing. She is an active volunteer, having served on the board of Sampiris PTA, Peninsula Education Foundation, and the National Charity League, otherwise known as NCL. She is currently a member of the Peninsula Committee Children's Hospital, raising funds for Children's Hospital Los Angeles. She currently lives in Rolling Hills Estates with her husband, Jim. Their three adult children live from California to Nebraska to Florida. Wow. And we are so pleased to have Andrea joining us back today. With her is Anne O'Brien. Anne is on the board of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, also serves on our inclusion committee, and just a lovely addition also to the chamber. She is the executive director of marketing and communications for El Camino College, whose mission is to make a positive difference in people's lives. Anne has more than 30 years of experience in communications, specializing in brand management, marketing, media relations, crisis communications, digital media, and event and fundraising support. Prior to joining El Camino College, Anne served for 19 years as director of marketing and communications for Torrance Memorial Medical Center, a 470-bed nonprofit medical center, thousands of individuals and families annually. While with Torrance Memorial, Anne was responsible for managing the communications for the opening of the Lundquist Tower, a massive new hospital on Lomita Boulevard. This project represented years of preparation and culminated in numerous community events, media placements, and choreographed day-long move of medical units and patients into the facility. I'm impressed that it was only one day that took to move all that. Anne earned her associate's degree from El Camino College and transferred to Cal State University Northridge, where she earned a bachelor's degree in journalism and a minor in history. Active in her community, Anne serves on the El Camino Foundation Board of Directors, as well as our Board of Directors here at the Chamber. She also formerly served on the Board of Youth for First Lutheran Church in Manhattan Beach. Born and raised in South Bay, Anne continues to call the Beach City's home, living in Manhattan Beach with her husband and two teenage sons who attend Manhattan Beach Unified Schools. Welcome back to the show, ladies. We are so glad you were able to join us on this Friday.
Thank you, Kelly.
I appreciate your trust.
Thank you.
And I have to say congratulations on your
Anne, I think that's you. It sounds like we're losing you just a little bit, like your reception is just a little bit off, but I think I heard congratulations. So I'm just going to say thank you.
Yes, I hope you can hear me now. Yes, that was a congratulations.
Excellent.
Yes, we can hear you better now.
So, can you tell us, for those of you who are not familiar with El Camino College, we're just a short drive down Manhattan Beach Boulevard, just to the east of Manhattan Beach, very close for our residents in the Beach Cities to attend. We have just been growing over the years, and we're very excited to serve our community.
Now, Anne, we're still having a little technical difficulties with your connection. Would it be possible for you to call back in?
Yes, I can do that.
Might be better. What?
Okay. Do you want to give me a phone number to call on? What's the best?
Yes. Area code 714. Area code 714-242-5. 288.
Okay, great. I'll call right in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So in the meantime, while Anne is calling back in, do you want me to fill you in a little bit about what's happening at El Camino, and she can jump in when she gets back on?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think she was starting by telling everyone where we're located, and we are actually on Manhattan Beach Boulevard, so that's a great address for us. And right, you know, just adjacent to Manhattan Beach, we serve the South Bay communities of El Segundo, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa Beach, Redondo Beach, Torrance, Inglewood, Hawthorne, Lenox, and Lawndale. So we have a lot of cities in our district, and we are considered a one college community college district, whereas Los Angeles Community College has multiple schools. We only have El Camino, which makes it a little easier to manage. And we have, like Anne was saying, we've grown. We have about 30,000 students that attend El Camino. We have, I think, greatly weathered the pandemic and are moving forward with that. We are currently not in session. We're only online still. We have about 30% of classes are actually on campus, which include the hands-on learning classes like nursing and the fire academy, the construction technology, auto technology. Our science labs are all now back on campus, but most of our learning is still online as we navigate getting students back on campus. I know Anne wants to talk a little bit. Are you back?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Yeah,
yes,
much better.
Very well.
Much better.
Oh, good.
So I was
good.
Just,
don't know what
I
was, that was all.
I filled everyone in on our district and who we serve, our population, and I touched briefly on the fact that we're about our fall online learning versus in classroom, and I was just going to say that you wanted to talk a little bit about our most exciting news, which is our new president, Dr. Brenda Temb.
Perfect setup. Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate that. Yeah,
you're
welcome. We're very excited. We have a brand new superintendent president, Dr. Brenda Temb. She started July 1. So she's been quickly getting up to speed with meeting our other superintendents in the district, our principals, our elected officials, you know, going out and visiting our first responders. So I've had a lot of fun taking her out into the community and getting her acquainted with everyone. So she came from, she was the president of West Hills Coalinga up in Modesto, and she has quite a background of education. I think you guys will be very impressed. UC Berkeley, USC, and I think, Joe, you might enjoy this, the Oregon State University. She also attended Harvard University Institute and UC Davis. So her background is just super impressive. So we've been, it's been fun to see her getting to know our students. She's very hands-on as far as going out to the campus. We do have some students, as Andrew mentioned, attending class at El Camino, which is very exciting. It's so nice to see students back on campus. So she is very excited about meeting students where they are and what their needs are. So she did a really nice video for our brand new students this fall. And, you know, it was very sweet the way she explained, you know, she's new, they're new, let's get to know each other together. And she has a very open door policy. She welcomes any students, anyone really, into her office at any time to talk to her about, you know, how they're feeling about being a college student, whether they're returning or brand new to the college, you know, straight out of high school. So it's been a very exciting summer for us.
As you can imagine, joining a college at the end of I'm going to call it the end of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And coming to campus when there's no students, and she's in her office every day and has been in her office since she got there in July. And she said, like, for the summer, she would look out her window and there was no one there. And now all of a sudden she sees students, and it really makes her happy. So we're anxious to get everybody back to campus.
Yes, we are indeed. So
to
expedite, sorry, Joe, did you have a question?
No, please, go on.
Oh, okay, great. Well, to expedite that and really to ensure the safety of our students and our staff, I wanted to let the listeners know that our Board of Trustees on September 7th mandated a COVID-19 vaccination for all staff. That's effective in November and then effective in January for all students. So we really wanted to ensure that, you know, when people are coming to campus, they feel comfortable being there and being in classroom, because over the winter session, we're going to bring back 50% of our courses in person, so we're very excited about that. And in the spring, we're going to ramp that up to 75%. So the campus will start to feel like we're used to seeing, like at all schools, right? With students connecting with each other in person, but in a really safe way. So we're very excited about that as well.
Wow, that's a big step. That's a very big step. And I'm just great to hear that. I mean, I know it's a tough decision. It means a lot of people, families will have to make that decision. You know, those that are still reticent about getting the vaccine, but on balance, though, it makes the entire environment safe for everyone.
It does. It does indeed. And I think what we've learned is, you know, many of our students have extended family, young children, you know, some children who can't get the vaccine. So just, I think we're able to create that safe environment for as many people as possible. It just helps everyone out in the long run. So that's, yeah, so we're excited about that. And just, you know, having people, we had an event last week that was partially in person, partially by Zoom, which I should point out, you know, we're not going to lose our Zoom connection with students, because we found that, and our staff, that it's a great way for more people to connect. And I think the more ways in which we can do that, the better. You know, it just, if you're, again, out of the area like you are, Joe, it's just, you can just Zoom right in and connect with people. So, but we did have Club Rush last week in person on campus, and it was great to see students just checking out, you know, new things they can learn about and ways to get involved. We have a esports club that's super popular, as you can imagine. That's really a you know, growing field. So that table was packed. And, you know, the gamers they love all manner of games, gaming. So I know I can speak from personal experience there as I watch my kids. But yeah, it's great to see students connecting in person.
I'm curious, right. And do you have a sense or stats on what percentage of the student population is already vaccinated?
Well, those I don't have that percentage right off the top of my head, but of those staff and students we have surveyed, yes, the number was pretty high for staff. I want to say close to 75%. The students were a little lower. I think, you know, just that generation is you know, they're just kind of thinking about whether or not that's the right decision for them. So I'm not totally sure about that. But of those who were surveyed, they did feel comfortable coming to campus if people were vaccinated. So that led our decision and our board more to go that route. So we never make decisions without, you know, input from our community. It's really important that we get their, you know, direction on what they feel is comfortable for the college.
Sure. And we have been offering vaccination clinics on campus, so students can come to campus and get their vaccination right there on campus.
How did you know that was my next question? That was exactly what I was going to say.
Beat you to it.
Are those great minds think alike, Andrea? how often are you still offering those clinics, and how often are those offered?
Yes, we are still offering them. We will continue to offer them. And every time we hold an event on campus, like Club Rush, or we're actually going to do a college night, which I don't know if Anne's going to talk about later, but I'll talk about it now. We're going to do a college night coming up in person on campus, and we will also offer it then. We have a check-in system on campus where you have to register online, then you get to campus, you have to go to a kiosk, you get a bracelet every day, they take your temperature. So we're being super safe about having people on campus, but we also want to, when we get them there, offer the vaccination so that we can be even safer going forward.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew, for making that point. It's, you know, just so many measures in place to, you know, make people feel safe when they come to campus. So, yes, we encourage all our students come and get, it's the J&J, so it's one and done, and they're able to just go on their way, and it's offered during the hours of our student health services when they're open. So, and those hours are on our website, so they're more than welcome to check that out.
That's fantastic. Make it easy on everybody.
Exactly.
How let's talk about enrollment. How is enrollment? You know, the numbers, you know, soft? I mean, are people still reticent to come back? Or, you know, how has the pandemic affected your current, you know, fall 2021 enrollment numbers?
Well, I can't lie. It's been really difficult for our students. You know, they're, you know, a lot of them are essential workers. They're caring for young children. They're caring for, you know, extended families. So they've struggled through the pandemic. So our enrollment's down a little bit, but, you know, we're confident that the more we can offer in person, you know, that'll shoot back up. We have heard that, you know, early on they had a lot of our students had technology issues, so we wanted to supply laptops and mobile Wi-Fi hotspots, so that helped a lot. But, yeah, they, you know, they've, and sometimes they've had to choose work over school, unfortunately. So we're hoping as the economy gets better and stronger, you know, we're able to, you know, be an option for our students so they can, you know, earn more money and, you know, get a certificate quicker. You know, not all of our offerings are transfer. Sometimes, you know, adult students might want to change careers. We have a lot of opportunities at the college for students to, you know, just earn more income in a quicker way. And so, yeah, it's been a challenge, though, Kelly, honestly. And we're just, you know, I think Andrew might want to touch upon, you know, the emergency fund, the foundation.
Yeah, the foundation did create an emergency fund right last in March of 2020 when the pandemic was really, you know, gaining speed and campus was shutting down. And it was one of the, I don't know, I guess most significant things I think I've done in fundraising, because we students would have to apply, and the stories we heard about, I lost my job, my parents lost their job, I'm home in an apartment with, you know, all my siblings, we're all buying for the internet, my parents are working from home. I mean, it just, you know, our rent is due, we don't know where to, you know, we don't have any money, and it was just student after student after student. It was really pretty horrific, and we raised several hundred thousand dollars within a few months. It was really, people, they wanted to help. And so it was our community at El Camino, our supporters, our donors, the local community, people, Manhattan Beach Rotary did a huge drive for our Warrior Pantry. People wanted to help, you know, with any way they could. So we were cutting checks as soon as, you know, as fast as we could to students to help them just buy food and just, you know, get to the next step of what was going to happen. So it was pretty intense, and I'm glad to say that we're on the other side of that now. And, you know, we're looking forward to the future and bringing students back on campus, positivity, helping them get back in school, stay in school. We the foundation gives hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in scholarships to keep our students in school. And so we're really looking forward to the future and getting, you know, really through the pandemic, bringing students back to campus safely. And I'm gonna segue into something positive and happy. In January, we are gonna start celebrating El Camino's 75th anniversary. So we have been serving the South Bay community for 75 years, and we're going to do a year-long celebration, and hoping that everyone's going to be ready to meet in person, and we have a lot of fun activities planned. On March 4th at the very own West Drift in Manhattan Beach, we'll be holding a 75th anniversary gala with our Distinguished Alumni and Gratitude Awards dinner, which we hold every other year, where we honor distinguished alumni and community and business supporters who have supported the foundation. And we're going to tie that in with a big fun party for our 75th anniversary. So look for more news on that. We've just determined who our awardees will be, but I can't tell you because I haven't told them yet. So look for that announcement in the next week or so. And I will just give you a little tidbit that we are going to honor one of the groups in Manhattan Beach. Can't tell you who it is, but we'll be honoring one of their very own Manhattan Beach organizations at our gala on March 4th, 2022. And then Anne wants to tell you a little bit more about what we're going to do on campus to celebrate our 75th.
Yeah, thank you. Great segue. And I love, we can't know until next week. She's killing me here. So for our 75th anniversary, we're excited to plan a community event. So we want all our friends in South Bay to come and see the college firsthand. So many new buildings on campus, and it's just gorgeous. So we're also going to have, events for our faculty and our staff and their families. It's going to be nice to be together and, you know, enjoy some just fun activities. We hope to do a movie night also on either on campus or at our nearby Rhodium. So we're just really in the preliminary stages of planning these events. When I was on campus as a student, when I talk with students today, and I just remember those feelings of, you know, it's your first time setting foot on a college campus and you're a little unsure of your next step. But, you know, as our president, our new president, Thames, likes to share with students, you know, find one person in your class to connect with. You know, if you're assigned one faculty member, just at a minimum. And then, you know, when you might feel like you don't want to come to class that day, you know that there's someone there who would miss you. And I think that's really, you know, her vision going forward is just keep making those connections with people, because that's going to keep you grounded in your goals. And it's going to you're going to build that connection with others. So you want to keep coming back. And, you know, I still have friends that I met on the campus of El Camino long, long time ago, won't say what year, and we just, you know, celebrate those memories because, you know, you never forget. Never forget. So.
Yeah. And I do think, too, Anne, like you said, when you come to El Camino, not only, like, you know, find somebody, you know, join a club, get involved, do associated student organization, you know, try to get involved in something. But I do think that we have a lot of amazing student resources on the campus for students to help them be successful, from our counselors, admissions, when they first walk in the door, financial aid, you know, just the resources that we have that make students successful and help them. You know, the Guided Pathways program that, you know, ensures that when the minute they come to the campus, they get an educational plan that helps them plan so they're not taking classes that don't make a difference in their major or to transfer, right? So I think we have a lot of people who want to show the warrior pride and want to make our students. I mean, I think that's what everyone on campus is all about, is making our students successful, giving them the resources they need, whether it's tutoring or you know, an honors transfer program or something like that. Another student resource that I mentioned earlier is the Warrior Pantry, which helps students who are suffering with food insecurities and their families. And we've just recently, go ahead, Ann.
Oh, I was just going to say the Warrior Pantry is really cool because it was established by students, for students, 3 years ago, and it's just grown exponentially. I mean, the value in the pandemic was just really wonderful. We offer that for our athletes as well as our veterans. We also created a warrior closet. So if students need to, you know, find a suit or shoes or whatnot to go on an interview, they're totally prepared. And that's been a really wonderful service for our students. But I also want to touch upon one of our really most successful cohorted, we call them cohorts. So students, you know, we're kind of followed through their time in El Camino, but it's the South Bay Promise. So we started that about, what would you say, Andrea, five years ago or so?
It was 2014, and it started with 7 students. Mm-hmm. And this year we enrolled 1,495 students in the South Bay Promise.
So that's 2 years of free college for high school graduates. And originally it was just, you know, for our district, the districts we serve, but it's open to all community or high school students, rather, in California. And so we have seen more than 200 different high school students come to the South Bay Promise this fall. And that's students coming out of the area to attend our college because of, you know, the exceptional curriculum, faculty, and, you know, excellent outcomes. So that is a really, to all your listeners, please, please look into the South Bay Promise. You won't regret it. There's 11 different support programs that the South Bay Promise students can join to, you know, just stay involved and get that extra educational support they need. You know, anywhere from, there's programs called the First Year Experience. So clearly that's, you know, first year, pretty obvious, but there's programs for athletes, foster youth,
STEM.
Just a number of different
STEM.
Thank you. Yep, STEM. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the South Bay Promise has been just a really valuable tool for us and our students.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Andrea.
I was just going to say the goal of the South Bay Promise is not only just the free college, which is awesome, but it's also free college and we want you to be successful. So you're going to come here. We're going to surround you with love. We're going to give you extra counseling. We're going to put you in a cohort so you're learning with like your peers in STEM or your peers in, you know, whatever your major might be. And then it's also getting you finished in a two-year period. So you do have to enroll as a full-time student, but the goal of the program is that you're not in community college for 6 years. We want you to get in and we want you to get out. Not that we don't love you, but we want you to be successful and go forward and conquer, either transfer to a four-year university or go out in the workforce with a certificate. And that is you know, not only the free part, which we talk about a lot because that's very important, but it's the success part that we also want to make sure people know, is that the goal is to be successful and move you forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So in 8 years, or well, 7 years, you've gone from 7 students in 2014 to 1,495 now. That's remarkable. Do you also provide, if they need it, laptops or a device for them also? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, yes. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Actually, the El Camino Foundation raised money for laptops specifically for the South Bay Promise students, because what we were learning when they were transferring to El Camino from their high school is that a lot of the high schools in our district actually supply technology for their students while they're in high school. And then they graduate and they come to college and they don't have a laptop. They don't have the resources to buy that. And so we have a laptop loan program. So if you come into the South Bay Promise program, you can borrow a laptop for the 2 years that you're there. And if you apply for a scholarship and you get a scholarship, sometimes you can use your scholarship to purchase your own laptop so that when you transfer, you have a laptop as well. So, yes, we do furnish laptops for those students.
That's okay. That's fantastic. And I just want to go. Want to go back for one moment and clarify. Is the Warrior Pantry the same as the food pantry that you were activating during the? We keep saying during the pandemic, even though we're in the pandemic still. But in the heat of the beginning of the pandemic, are those the same programs or are those different food pantries?
Same program. So we began in 2018, but it just, grew so fast during the pandemic.
So when the pantry began.
And then the Warrior Closet is a program gently used. Are you taking new donations or like gently used business clothes from people in the community?
Both.
Mm-hmm. All of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kelly, just to clarify, when the Warrior Pantry was established, it was actually on campus in an office. So you would have to walk on campus. But when the pandemic hit, they moved it from that to a drive-through setup.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they moved it. It's right off of Manhattan Beach Boulevard, and students can drive through. So there's no contact. Everybody's masked. And so they literally would hand them a bag of food. And so we pivoted, the most famous word right now, from walking onto campus to get your food to driving through a drive-through pickup so that we could still serve students through the Warrior Pantry. So it is the same program, but we made it more COVID safe.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And is it still in that state of a drive-through type of program, or are you back into – the building with it? And the reason I ask,
it's still a drive-through.
It's still drive-through. Okay. And does it happen like every certain Saturday or something or what? Because Rotary, we had this conversation in our Rotary board meeting on Wednesday evening about exactly these two things that came up again in our conversation. So I'm selfishly asking because then I can go right back and say, hey, I got the answer.
They do take donations. The Manhattan Beach Rotary has been very supportive. Your members doing food drives, personally donating, they've been really incredible. But it is the same program. We do accept donations. There's actually a list online. If you go to our website and look at Warrior Pantry, there is a list of like the most popular non-perishable items and toiletries that can be donated.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, of course, we also take financial donations, which they use to go purchase food. You know, we work with the LA Food Bank. We work with Food for Less, you know, all our local resources to stock the pantry. But of course, we love it free with donations. Is really great. And you know, with the holidays coming up and Thanksgiving, and then the holiday season, it's even more important to be able to have these students get food, and you know, they can't be hungry.
No,
you can't learn when you're hungry.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say the exact same thing. Okay, so I've got it, and we can maybe talk a little bit more offline about some of that, too. I know we were trying to plan and start ramping up to assist that program again. But can we jump over to – and you are thankfully on our inclusion committee at the Manhattan Beach Chamber that we formed almost a year and a half ago. And we've made great strides in the business community in Manhattan Beach, but I know you guys have, you know, a huge focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion at El Camino College. Can you, both of you, fill us in a little bit, you know, what is happening and what you guys are doing at El Camino College with that?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. Yes, we started after the death of George Floyd, a president's committee on race and equity. And so that committee has been, one school was in session last year, met frequently to talk about these very important issues, and actually partnered with the USC Center on Race and Equity to offer a number of e-convenings on subjects around that, as well as how to infuse those topics into curriculum. And our Academic Senate actually recently is working on an initiative to do that as well in our classrooms, because we recognize that, you know, we need to be talking about these subjects with our students because they need to feel that they belong on our campus. So it's very important for us as an institution to ensure that, you know, that diversity, equity, and inclusion conversation continues, not just past the terrible things that happened early in 2020, but going forward, so it becomes, you know, a part of our daily conversation. So, yes, our president is very involved in the new work that's happening in the fall. So being new herself, you know, the committee went quiet during the summer. No one's, you know, we're not in session in a big way then, but that's just starting to ramp back up in the fall. So I imagine we'll have some new announcements coming out of that in short order.
And
so
they've also identified space on campus for a new social justice center, which I think will be really important for our students. And they're currently in need of furniture and all kinds of things for that social justice center, where when students are back on campus, they have a space to go and hang out and be together, and I think that'll be a great improvement on our campus.
Yes, they're also looking for the donation for that as well. So we're very excited about that.
And
the dialogue around creating that center is very student-centered. So they're involved in the planning of it very actively. So
that's fantastic. Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. I know you guys probably have something else up your sleeve, other things that you want to share with us. What haven't we touched on that you want to cover in the next 10 minutes?
I wanted to make sure that, very excited about, you know, it's ironic that we're on today because we actually launched our brand new elcamino.edu website today. So I invite everyone to go and experience that. That's been a project that's been 18 months in the works, you know, surveying our students, our constituents, our staff and faculty about how we can serve our new and, you know, existing students in a way that really responds to what they need. So very excited about that today. But I also wanted to invite you, Kelly, and your listeners to attend the College's State of the College on November 5th. This is the third annual event, and it's we invite corporate partners and our constituents to learn about what's happening in our economy as we support the development of the workforce. So each year we touch upon, you know, a different theme. In the past we talked about manufacturing. We had the digital arts was a very popular subject. We want to create, you know, an event that is really meaningful to our business community, so that they're learning what is happening in the economy, particularly, you know, as we kind of come out of this post-endemic pandemic situation, that they know, you know, and we know, we talk to our corporate partners about, you know, what is it that you need to build your workforce for the future? So we're very excited about that event coming up. And Andrea, would you like to add anything to that?
No, I hope everybody can join us. We're still contemplating whether we're going to be in person on campus or via Zoom. We're not positive, but we did hold an event on campus recently for the superintendents and principals of our local feeder school districts. We were outside on the patio. Everybody wore a mask, and it was great. And it was so nice to see people in person. So we're really hoping that this could be an in-person event on campus. But it is a great way to – we're going to have our new president, Dr. Thames, you know, meet her and get to know her a little bit. And then, of course, like Ann said, talk about our future and what that looks like in the South Bay and what our workforce is going to look like coming out of this – I'm being positive – coming out of this global pandemic. but I also – yeah. So we invite everybody to come to that. We'll be sending invitations and such. Can I share some funny kind of news with you guys?
Yeah, please.
We have so our beautiful new campus, and you'll have to come visit us soon. You know, we have a new stadium, we have a new aquatics facility, we have a new gymnasium. Lots of construction, thanks to our community in supporting us with our bond measures, so that we can beautify and renovate our campus and make it, you know, current in the 21st century. But because of that, we've had a lot of interest in filming on our campus. So right before the Summer Olympics, NBC came on campus and filmed the Jonas Brothers on our campus in the gym and also out on the field. And they were trained by Olympic athletes. And then the Jonas Brothers went out and did all the Olympic sports and kind of had their own. It was, of course, a promotion for the Olympics. So if you saw that, or you can go and stream it and watch it, you can see our gym. It specifically says El Camino College. So that was really fun. And people were all over social media saying, I think I saw a Jonas brother at El Camino. What is going on? So that was kind of fun. And then we've had a number of major brands come to campus and do photo shoots. Nike, T-Mobile, Target, Athleta, and Gap. Have all done photo shoots mostly in our new field, so in the Murdoch Stadium. Mm-hmm. So that has been kind of fun for campus, and you know, it you'll see the lights and the trucks and people walking around campus, and everybody speculates, you know, who's on campus now? What are we doing? So it's been exciting for us to be able to open the campus and to have that interest in coming to the campus.
Well,
so that's fun facts.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Joe, do you have some questions you want to ask before we have five minutes left?
Yeah, Anne, most people are just holding it in the back of their consciousness, but can't quite believe that Los Angeles is going to get the Olympics in 2028.
Mm-hmm.
It really isn't that
mm-hmm.
far. I mean, it's just, 7 years from now. Can you tell us a little bit about how El Camino is going to be involved in that?
You know, it's a great question because I can't divulge anything at this point, but I can say that every time we have a major sporting event occurring in Los Angeles, there is a lot of interest about using our stadium for practices, just preparation for those big games. So I am very hopeful. Hopeful is not really even the right word, because I just know that in past experiences, those big teams have enjoyed, and those world-class athletes have chosen, you know, El Camino to prepare for those events. So, yeah, Joe, I think you're absolutely right. I think that with our proximity to, you know, SoFi Stadium and Dignity Health Sports Park and, you know, the new stadium that's being built, Staples Center, you know, we're so close to these major Olympic venues that I'm really encouraged that, you know, we'll be on the short list of schools contacted for those for those uses. But yeah, it's super exciting for us to have these beautiful, I mean, really world class athletic buildings and fields, and it's gorgeous. It's a gorgeous campus, and so yeah, great question. We're excited about the Olympics.
I'm excited.
Uh-huh. Are you going to go? Stay tuned, Joe. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Yes, we will all be going in some way, shape, or form.
Right, right. It's going to be one great coming out party for everybody. It's 7 years is enough time for people to prepare, but we have to remember that, you know, 2020 was a very tough year for the Olympics. It finally got off in Japan in 2021. 2024, I don't know where it's going to be, Italy or someplace, but hopefully.
I think Paris, actually.
Oh, is it Paris?
Yeah, that'd be great. Wow, nice.
I think it is.
Yeah, Andrea touched upon it a little bit, but we actually had, in addition to the Jonas Brothers do with their programming, we had a public service announcement for the high jump for the Tokyo Olympics filmed at the campus as well. So it was really fun to have that, like, Olympic buzz kind of on our campus, too. You know, we could be like, hey, I saw our campus during the Olympics while we were watching it. So it was fun.
I love it. Well, it's a testament to what you all have created there. And it is a beautiful campus. And people want to use it for filming and for other things. And there's no doubt why. It's fantastic. So, okay, we have 1 minute left. Do you want to give us contact information, what people should be looking for, where they can find events? What do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I want to make sure that they stay on top of everything that's happening at El Camino, so feel free to visit elcamino.edu. Please look into becoming a student, telling your children to become students. You know, they'll get the benefit of being, you know, just a beautiful education and a bright career. Andrea, would you like to add anything?
I do. I just want to make a shameless plug that if anyone would like to support the Warrior Pantry or the Warrior Closet with monetary donations or donations of clothing or food for our students, you can go to elcamino.edu and search for the foundation, and all that information is on the foundation website. We also raise money for scholarships and other student support programs, and I'd be happy to meet and talk with anybody who's interested in helping our students and in their successful educational careers. So thank you. Thank you for letting me have a shameless plug.
Thank you.
Of course. Okay, Joe, we got to wrap it up.
We love El Camino College. We love the Marseille Auditorium, the performance venue for the community orchestra, the Beach City Symphony. It's just a wonderful campus. We hope a lot of people will wake up and find a community college for their children and choose El Camino.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Come for free, remember.
Right. And M. O'Brien and Andrea Sala, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, Joe and Kelly. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye, Kelly.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Kelly.
Bye.